Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
The Army was not responsible, nor was anyone else, for the deliberate taking of classified material and providing that to someone many of us consider an enemy of the state to Julian Assange for purposes of disclosure.
Chelsea Manning, if you haven't heard, the breaking news, has had her sentence commuted. May 17th of this year, she will be out of jail, and that will be that. Two other people involved also in the entire Manning incident and espionage and lies and all this crap that took place also had theirs commuted as well. I am... You knew he was going to do something, and I was just watching CNN, and this is the way I felt, and the fact that CNN came out and said it and somebody did was astonishing in saying this. A win for progressivism because Chelsea Manning used to be Bradley Manning, and with the transgender issue being there, this is a win. Like, that is, hey, it's a win. It's a win. There are a lot of people out there who applaud Chelsea Manning, even people on the right, for, and along with Snowden and WikiLeaks, for exposing the giant lie that we were being told by our government and the entire spying thing that went on. But there were a lot of other things inside of that exposure that put lives in jeopardy, that also long-term has put relationships with other nations and how they work with us in dealing with things like ISIS and several other things throughout the Middle East and elsewhere in the world in jeopardy. And this today is another situation where you look and you say, what have you done? If I'm Donald Trump, first and foremost, I'm going, wow, man, even when I screw up, I don't screw up like this. This is fantastic for him. People aren't focusing on him. They're looking at the likes of President Obama right now and what he's done. Thank you for taking all of the pressure off me for putting my tweets in my mouth. I put my Twitter in my mouth. Thank you so much. A lot of people responding to it. I got a poll up at Chad Benson Show. You can check it out on the old Twitter and as well as Facebook, The Chad Benson Show, Chadbensson. I look at it this way. Chelsea, then Bradley Manning, put people's lives at risk and expose things that were secrets. I think he, now she, was a stool. It was just a stepping stone, a stepping stool for bigger people to get to the places they want to be. She was no more. She was a stool. She had, if you think that Manning orchestrated any of this on then his own, you're fooling yourself. Now, when you look at the size of the leak, it was massive. When you look at everything across the board, you think to yourself, was this a justified amount? On average, 1 to 3 years in leaks like this have been, you know, put forth, but many people thought this was extraordinary, partially because there was egg on the face of the United States government. This just didn't expose people to potential dangers, expose some of our actions and our communications with other countries and with other ambassadors and leaders and stuff. That it also exposed our dirty laundry. And it left us in many ways with eggs on our face with, you know, the abuse by the Iraqi soldiers, you know, along with the Americans and some of the stuff going on in Guantanamo Bay and not having hearings or these people being held without. I mean, there was a lot of things that went into this besides the exposing of the fact that there were people that were moles and people that were working for us inside of various governments and inside of various military agencies that we had working for us and that were working along with us, that we exposed them And that's dangerous. Now, we can't say nobody died, and we can't say somebody did die, because we do not know what came out of these. But what we do know is we put people and agents in a particularly tough situation by exposing them. And because of that, that's where the punishment came from. But the extra punishment that came on top of that was the embarrassment of it all. Snowden should face the brunt of it all. While some people look at them as heroes, Snowden should. I think Chelsea Manning was overcharged and was over. Because, you know, remember, I think in a lot of ways, Chelsea Manning got what Snowden and WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange probably all would have got. There was nobody else to go after, so you punish the one you have. But saying that the reason that she's getting, you know, commuted and this is a win for progressivism is because she is now he is now a she. Look, he is now a she, but she is still an American. Right? She didn't go from, hey, I'm a he, but now I'm British and I'm a woman. It didn't work that way. Still an American. And I'm telling you right now, this is another situation where, you know, I heard people saying, even on the TV, it's amazing that, you know, had Chelsea been Bradley Manning instead of Chelsea Manning, the chances of this happening were probably slim to none. This is another win for progressivism. No, it's not. This hurts us. How do you want to deal with us now? This puts Trump in a different light. Because now you're thinking to yourself, why would I want to deal with the Americans as a just in case we see the way they're handling crap over there? Let's take, for instance, the fact that something happened and got out in the CIA into the public where it was broadcast to be that this is what our president-elect did to Russian prostitutes on a bed and whatnot. And how did that get out? Now you're seeing that we're commuting people who, treason, were arrested and prosecuted for essentially for leaking our information, our super sneaky secrets. But we're going to let them out as a justice and a victory for being a brave person from going from male to female. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. You're still an American. Now, I agree that he was overcharged and now she was put away for too long. I don't think it warranted that when in truth, it was just like everything else in life. Somebody who is a lower ranking person took the brunt of something that maybe a higher ranking official wouldn't have taken the brunt at. Here's another question. Julian Assange said this week that should Chelsea Manning be freed, he would waive extradition and come to the United States and face a trial. Do you think that's going to happen? Do you? I don't think that's going to happen. It sounds nice. But I don't know. Maybe they worked out a deal. Maybe they worked out a deal. I don't know. Maybe that was the deal worked out and that they're going to sneak him out and he's going to land on our soil sooner rather than later and he'll face a trial here. But I tell you what, a trial under a who? Obama? Not going to happen. Trump? Trump seems to like WikiLeaks. Seems to be okay with it. Very interesting today, though, and the way that this all went down and, you know, a couple more days of this we still got. I saw the moving truck today. But I will tell you this, you know, I've seen both people on sides of the aisle, Democrats and Republicans, all coming out and saying, this was something I wouldn't have done. This is something I would not have done. Democrats also saying, no, this is something that seemed to be more of a, this is for the sycophants and the worshipers of Obama and his fans, not his constituents, more than it was for the best thing to do for America. And what will this be like going forward with us working with other nations and we're worried about keeping our secrets secrets? Snowden, he's the one that bears the brunt because he ran. WikiLeaks founder has got bigger issues besides just us, if he can ever leave that place. Because they want to extradite him somewhere else for sexual assault. But we'll see what happens. Very interesting indeed. Currently, 65% said I disagree with the Chelsea Manning sentence being commuted. 35% say I support it. We shall see. We also have another poll up there about Donald Trump. Should he stay off Twitter while president? 60% said no, he shouldn't. You can check everything out at Chad Benson Show, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N. You can text us, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. And as always, call the show, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. We have so much stuff to get to today. We got a ton of stuff, including later on in the show. We got a guy coming on to talk about prop bets for the inauguration. You don't know what a prop bet is? We'll talk about will he or won't he tweet before 9 a.m.? How many words will he or won't he say inside of his speech? How long will it be? Those are prop bets, kids. We got so much stuff today. It's the Chad Benson Show. A little Jamiroquai for us, Phil. I appreciate that. One hit wonder in America. Did a video, won everything you could possibly imagine, old Jamiroquai. We never heard from him again. Cool. And he wore Kangool. Long before Samuel L. Jackson, he was sporting the Kangool. People are like, what the hell are you talking about? It's pop culture reference. You guys, just slow your roll. Slow your roll. We are days away from it happening. President Trump, has it sunk in? Are you feeling it? Do you understand? What's the sense? Does it make you uncomfortable? Does it make you happy? Does it make you what? I want to know. A lot of people are freaking out. I think we've got some 40-odd now, Congress people and senators that aren't heading to watch this inauguration. And you've got God knows how many people are showing up to complain and bitch and whine. It's amazing. Maxine Waters is already saying that they're ready to start an impeachment trial. I mean, yeah, he hasn't even started yet. You know, this is as stupid as when people go, man, this guy's a hell of a baseball player. We're already building him a shrine in Cooperstown. Wait till he gets to the major leagues. Let's just wait and see, can we? Is there any way we can just have a wait and see attitude and see what takes place? I'm curious right now. I think it's fair to have a wait and see attitude because, first of all, it's silly talk to think you're going to try to impeach him and he's not even stepped into office, right? This is ridiculous. That shows where you're at. The Democrats are showing themselves to be sore losers in a very large way, and they weren't great winners either when they won 8 years ago. The Republicans gave him hell. Absolutely they did. And I expected pushback from the Democrats in some way. But this is sore losing tenfold. This is sore. I mean, you fight tooth and nail because you have a belief to a certain extent. But at the same time, you also have to realize that half of the country voted him in. Really? Oh, but she won by 2.5 million votes in California. Take away California and he won everywhere else and then some. So can we just give him a chance before we decide that we're going to impeach him? And the opposite side, can we just give him a chance before we decide we're going to make a bust of him and put it on Rushmore? I think it's only fair that we give him a chance. You freaking out, you crying, you whining, you bitching, you moaning, you not showing up. It's ridiculous. John Lewis not showing up. Not the first time. Didn't do it. Didn't come to W's. I was trying to, you know, this is one of those things. They did it with Nixon, right? They did it with W. This is a pattern of sore losing. Did we not play sports as children? Did we not learn the value of winning and losing? Did we not do that? That's a question, right? That's a question we need to ask. Did we not understand what it was like when the other side wins? that you graciously go, I'm going to fight you tooth and nail, but we're still Americans and we're going to get on with this? This doesn't feel that way. This feels like we're going to do everything in our power to make your life a living hell. And by the way, Republicans, this is what it was like. You made Barack Obama's life a living hell. You did in a lot of ways. But you also caved in other ways. But this is not showing up. The whining. Enough with the whining. That's why I can understand if you say, look, you know what? I don't really agree with this president. I'll work with him, but I don't want to show up. Look, for me, if I was there, I wouldn't want to go either because it just seems like a lot of people and a huge pain in the ass. I'm not a big fan of crowds. I don't really want to be a lot of crowds. So I'd be like, oh, I got to figure out a way out of this. I mean, there's got to be one of them that goes, I really don't want to go to this. I got better things to do on Friday than this. I'll watch it on TV. I'll make something up. Like, I'm really angry with Trump and he's a jerk and blah, 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 blah. Let's go play golf. There's at least one of them like that. And they're like, oh, my God, this person's wonderful. Look at the way they're doing it. Just he agrees with us or she agrees with us, and they're going to do something else. I get that. But for the office, the respect of the office, that's the thing. The respect of the office. You show up to something like this. I'm hearing crazy numbers of people are showing up. Phil, you're out there and about there. Is it feeling busier?
It's starting to get a little heated. I know that hotels are really going for a premium around here.
Yeah, yeah. And this was supposed to be the worst attended. All of a sudden they're talking about maybe the most attended. Then you're going to have 900,000 people supposedly who are showing up with political discord. And all of them are going to have a different reason why they're angry. None of them will come up with any solutions. They just want to bitch. Oh, God, it's insane. It is so insane. We'll see what happens. We'll see what takes place. But it's happening. Regardless if you like it or not, it is happening. So deal with it, come to terms with it, cry about it, write somebody, bitch about it. Whatever you think you got to do, you do, but then just realize it's happening. And as adults, we just get on with our lives because in the end, it's Friday. That's really all it is. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. It's a boondoggle. It's a choo-choo train that's costing California a lot of money. Could it be coming to your town? Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
That's right. Yeah. The choo-choo. Come on, ride the train. The choo-choo. Nobody's going to ride the train. A boondoggle in California. Taxpayers have been swindled out of a ton of money. And this pertains to all of us here in America. Because we're being fed this line of crap about high-speed rail this and high-speed rail that. It's a boondoggle. Joining me now, he's the Assistant Director of Transportation Policy at Reason Foundation. Baruch Feigenbaum has joined us. I appreciate you coming on, my man. Thanks so much for taking time with us today. Why is this a massive boondoggle that is a nightmare?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. And, yeah, this project has so many problems, it's almost impossible to name them all. So the basic issue is they've come up with a route that's circuitous. It was supposed to connect San Francisco and Los Angeles, but it goes through California's Central Valley, which means it's going to cost a lot more to build. The actual train speeds are going to be slower than the 200 miles an hour that they promised. So fewer people than they initially planned are going to ride the train. And not surprisingly, they underestimated the cost massively. And the latest we've seen is now they're in a fight with the Los Angeles Times, claiming that the newspaper had access to some kind of confidential documents that show the cost of the train is actually much more than their latest projections.
It's insane, but this is government run amok everywhere. We were fooled into it a long time ago. I was wondering to myself, for all those people who voted for it, did they not understand, Baruch, that we had airplanes and those things travel as the fly crows and as the crow flies, and it's cheaper and easier?
Yeah, I mean, it's in some ways it's hard to see what the allure is. I will say that even the ballot language, I think, was perhaps misleading and optimistic, because they were suggesting that for $8 billion, you could build this train. In reality, the train they promised on the ballot would cost close to $100 billion. The one that they're actually planning on right now is still going to be at least $67 billion, and that might be low.
And it's not going to go from where it says it's going to go. I mean, the fact is, you got to get on it in, like, Bakersfield, and you got to go somewhere that you're never going to. I mean, what's the point of building something that's never going to reach its destination? I am perplexed by this.
Yeah, well, there is no point other than making a political position or perhaps leaving a legacy. I'm not sure this is the legacy you want to leave. Basically, in order to get this built sometime over the next 50 years, they've broken it down into a bunch of segments. But instead of starting in Los Angeles or San Francisco, where the most number of riders would get on, they've started it in the Central Valley, you know, places like Bakersfield to Fresno. And so instead, what we're probably going to have is a very expensive tourist attraction that people will get on and say, oh, this is interesting. They were really planning on building this.
Talking to Baruch Feigenbaum from Reason. He's the Assistant Director of Transportation Policy at Reason Foundation. And it's a political stunt. And I mean, it's pretend infrastructure in a lot of ways. It keeps unions happy. Everybody makes a little something, something. The taxpayers pay for it. But think about this nationwide, because we're not the only ones who've toyed around with this idea of doing something like this. And as California starts to falter in this, this definitely has to hurt the plans of you know, potentially having this kind of infrastructure, high-speed rail elsewhere.
I think so. And people look at places like Europe and Western Asia, Japan and China, and they go over there and they ride these trains and they think, boy, this would be really nice in the U.S. But there's a couple of major differences between us and Europe and Asia. One is our cities are generally much less dense, and the transit that we have, the rail transit systems, are usually much smaller. People have much higher rates of car ownership. And our cities are just designed around the car, because most of them were built after World War II. So it would be one thing, say, if you're connecting New York with D.C. or Boston, but trying to build high-speed rail anywhere else in the U.S., it's really going to take some enormous taxpayer subsidies, and it's hard to see how that makes sense to me when we've got all these other modes. Airplane, you mentioned, low-cost bus is now an option for a lot of people who want to get around, and, of course, the automobile.
You know, you talk about like D.C. to New York. I see, like, to me, I look at that and I think that's a corridor that may actually make money. I think that's the only one of Amtrak's that makes money, right, if I'm correct. That looks interesting. I could maybe potentially see that, but I can't see. We also forget the fact, I lived in Europe for a long time, is our cities are far away from each other. It's not like they're 10 miles or 20 miles or 100 miles. San Francisco and L.A. is a hell of a day's drive, and it's still an hour plus plane ride. This is insane.
Right, right. And that's a great question. Amtrak, which is not exactly a model of efficiency itself, manages to make money on the corridors in the Northeast, both the Acela and the regular. And if we were going to do high-speed rail, either Amtrak or privately high-speed rail, which is what I would recommend, we would do it in that corridor because you've got a lot of ridership. And as you point out, the cities are close together. But starting it out in a corridor like Los Angeles to San Francisco, especially with the weird circuitous routing, just doesn't make a lot of sense. It doesn't make a lot of sense to people who want to save money, and it really doesn't make sense for the high-speed rail people either. So you have to ask yourself, why was that the corridor? And again, it gets down to government and politics.
Talking to Baruch Feigenbaum, he's the Assistant Director of Transportation Policy at Reason Foundation, as we talk about the high-speed boondoggle that is the political football here in California and how it could affect everybody across the nation. Because I think a lot of people look at train as, oh, is this something that could, because you're going to get pitched across the country, Brooke, and I think you'll agree, is it's a greener way to travel. It's better for you. Get out of your cars. And it's these things end up being more tourist attraction that we have to subsidize as taxpayers because they can't make money on their own. And that is something that's never sold inside the bond measures or anything else.
Right. If this was such a better way to get around, then there would be a lot more demand for it than it currently is. You know, there's ways that you can reduce your footprint if, you know, the environment is really important to you. Most airlines allow you to buy credits. I mean, that technology is there. But the reality is you just can't duplicate with a train for long-distance trips what you can do with a plane, just because it can go faster. Obviously, you don't have stops along the way. And just because it sounds like a nice romantic vision doesn't mean it's something that actually works in reality.
You know, I look at this, and again, this is one of those things. President Trump, or President-elect Trump, is soon to be taking, you know, over the presidentship, and he will be talking about infrastructure. And this infrastructure is great. And infrastructure, we need to pour money into it. I see California is, this is how not to do infrastructure spending and how not to draw it up. Because if you want to learn how something fails, watch the way California handles stuff like this and then do the exact opposite. And you may have a shot.
Yeah, I mean, he is big in infrastructure, but I'm hoping and I'm pleasantly encouraged by what I'm seeing so far that he's going to look at states that are models, such as Texas, such as Florida, such as Virginia, states that do things much cheaper and with private sector involvement. You know, California has one of the five highest gas taxes in the country, and it's also got a number of other fees. There's local county sales taxes that go to build things. And when you consider how much residents pay in taxes, it is amazing how little infrastructure they get in return. I would say you could look at a state like Texas, even some of the East Coast states, much lower taxes, just as much infrastructure per person. And so you have to ask yourself, why are we paying so much if we get so little, and how do we solve the problem? And I think that's what California residents and taxpayers should be asking themselves. How can we get a more accountable government?
You know, you talked about the private sector. Brooke, is there a private sector answer to this in California? Because I know that there's been several people that say, you know, I can get this done for $1 billion and I can make it go faster and safer. And you hear stuff because I think that's where the answer is. Private sector, along with some of the public sector, working together to build something like this. And, I mean, is that the answer, or is this just one of those things where government wants to control this kind of transportation and these kind of infrastructure jobs?
Yeah, it's possible that the private sector, especially if they have the right incentives and have a direct route between L.A. and San Francisco, could get this done. Now, I'll say that even with the private sector doing it, there's still going to need to be some public money. And I question whether this is the best thing that we want to spend our public resources on. So even with the private sector doing this, these high-speed trains may not be worthwhile, but we would certainly get better numbers, and they certainly worth considering.
Did California not think this thing through? And I say that not so much because of the money. And we know that, again, it's the boondoggle, the choo-choo train that's never going to get off the, you know, never going to roll down the tracks, and all of these kind of things we've heard before. But one thing that always went through my mind when this was on the ballot is they'll never, based on the EPA and the California Air Resource Board and all the other stuff they have here, they're never going to get past the point where they're going to be able to build anything because people are going to bitch, whine, and moan that it's going to hurt the environment. And to me, I just didn't understand how people didn't see that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think this came out of the stimulus spending in the 2009 period and people thinking to themselves, we really need to do something for the economy. We need more infrastructure. Building a high-speed train sounds really fantastic. Let's go ahead and do that. And I don't think people actually thought it through. I don't think they looked at Europe and Asia, which is funny to me because a lot of the Democratic proponents of this are always saying we should look at Europe and Asia. But I don't think they looked and saw how high-speed rail trains really work and how much they cost. I don't think they thought through the improvements in aviation to consider how people would really actually travel. And I think that a lot of the environmental opposition is often generated by folks who are in favor of the train. So maybe they just assumed that the environmental opposition would not materialize because they're having such a good project. I should add, by the way, that building the train is far more producing of greenhouse gas emissions than would be saved in like the train's first 50 years operating. So it's not a green project. But again, if you've got a romantic vision in your head, you know, don't let that get in the way.
Oh, my God. His name is Brooke Feigenbaum. He's the Assistant Director of Transportation Policy at Reason Foundation. We appreciate you coming on today to clear up a bit of this mess and hopefully to show the rest of the country why a high-speed choo-choo train is, for all intents and purposes, ridiculous. Thanks for joining us today, man.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
I'm sorry. It's just it is a waste of money, and we could spend that money on schools. We can spend that money on infrastructure that we actually need, like fixing potholes and crap like this in our decaying roads, rather than looking at licensing fees and everything else. And it's shocking to hear in California that, guess what? We spend more and get less, but I don't know why I'm shocked anymore. I really don't. This is why people are fleeing to Texas and elsewhere, people. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can tweet us at Chad Benson Show and check us out as well by texting us 323-538-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Oh, dear God, no!
Do you have any questions?
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
That right there be the slants, and they sing for the Japanese and the Chinese, the Koreans, and everybody else. That's who they sing for. Probably not the crackers. Probably not your brothers and sisters. Maybe not anybody else. The Latinos out there, you guys maybe. No, but they sing for the Japanese and the Chinese. They are the slants! And they're called that because, well, several different reasons, they say. And we'll get to that in a moment. But the big news about the slants and why they're the most famous band in America as of tomorrow, at least for a little while, is because they'll be at the old Supreme Court having their trademark hearing because they wanted to trademark the slants. But the trademark office said, no, that's racist. And we don't care that you're Asian. We don't care about any of that stuff. It disparages a group of folk. And they're like, we are that group of folk. It's crazy. This is the lead singer and bassist, Simon Tan, on why they decided to call themselves the Slants.
Honestly, it came from a conversation that I had with a good friend of mine when I first had the idea for starting an all-Asian band. So I said, you know, what's something that you think all Asians have in common? And without skipping a beat, they said slanted eyes. So I thought that's really interesting because not only does it sound like some kind of cool new wave band that Debbie Harry would be in, but it could also kind of be our slant on life, our perspective as Asian Americans, and at the same time, pay homage to decades of work by Asian American activists who've been kind of reclaiming slant in a positive, appropriated manner.
And reclaiming it. African Americans have reclaimed the N-word. Some people would say you have, remember, queer for a long time and gay. That has been reclaimed. I don't know if gay was ever bad. Gay was always just happy, right? Happy, but they claimed it anyways. They're just taking words, right? They're just, you're just stealing words now. But they reclaimed queer. You've got, you know, a lot of different people out there who are claiming certain things, and they're turning that word into something positive or powerful, whatever they want to do. It is what it is. Right? This is the day and age that they're being caught up, and I'm pretty sure they're probably a little bit more progressive than non-progressive. I don't know. They're from Portland, Oregon, and they're calling themselves the Slants. I'm going to go with, yeah. So the fact that they've got to go here and fight for their name and fight for this right, and some of the just insane thing that people talk about is it being a racial slur. And this is where the patent office is having issues right now, obviously, because they're under scrutiny and they're under fire because of what's happening in Washington, because they have taken away the patent and the trademark of the Redskins. And they're looking at this and saying to themselves, if these guys can win in the Supreme Court, we're going to take it to the Supreme Court as well. Tam was not finished. He continues on.
We've actually done them a favor by doing independent national surveys and supplying like a 70-page Word document from one of the top linguistics professors in the country explaining the history of the term slant, how even in the 1930s and 40s, at its height of usage, it was never really used as a common slur. Nearly every single major dictionary publisher has actually removed the racial meaning from its list of possible definitions.
Some of the stuff they talk about is the fact that some of the things the trademark used against them was Miley Cyrus pulling her eyes back to look Asian, things like the most insane things, anything to make everybody feel better about themselves, you cracker. And we were talking about this. Does NWA have a trademark? Because we know what that means. What about Cracker the Band or Uncle Cracker? Because the word cracker, you're talking to me, right? I'm a cracker. 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 I think it's a fair question. This right here is once again the government thinking that they're doing something good and really saying to somebody else, you guys don't know what's best for you. You are now hurting other people based on something like this. And but there's still the Slants. Whether or not they trademark their name or not, they're still going to be called the Slants. It's not like they're taking their name away. But I find it once again, and I'm telling you, at the heart of this mess, at the heart of this BS, is a bunch of guilty white people who feel they're doing something that is making a better tomorrow. And it's not. You're stomping on free speech. You're stomping on free thought. You're stomping on free ideas. Let the kids have their name. They're going to have their day in court tomorrow. They have 30 minutes in front of the judges to make their case. And then the trademark office will have 30 minutes in front of the judges to make the case of why they shouldn't call this. And then we'll hear about it eventually. God willing, they get their name that they want. Trademarked. Because I think this is a way of them allowing themselves to empower. And they were the ones who came up with it. And good God. What if they were only saying, we just wanted to talk about our slants in life? Well, it's racist. Oh, for God's sakes. Get over yourself. The Chad Benson Show is your Facebook. At Chad Benson Show is the Twitter. Chadbenson. You can text the program. 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. We also have a phone number. I know it's crazy. 844-DIG-CHAD. 844-344-2423. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.